morning, I want to thank Brother Jim for that reading. We are quickly approaching the conclusion of this, what's really amounted into a five-month survey of a really just a few verses here in Galatians chapter 5. We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit most recently. That's mentioned in verses 22 and 23 of Galatians chapter 5. Paul tells us that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll evidence the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we've looked at the first seven, which have been love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. This morning, we will look at the second to last one, which is gentleness. The word found in Galatians chapter 5, which is translated gentleness in many versions, is the Greek word praetis. It's also translated into some versions as meekness. And there's a handful of a couple other words that are used when variations of this word is found in Scripture. In this case, meekness really means gentle strength. It's power that is reserved and gentle. This word and some very close variants of it are found in about 12 passages in the New Testament. All of them are found in the epistles. 9 of them are found as being provided by the Apostle Paul. James provided 2 instances of it, and the last one is by Peter. To try to get an idea for what this word truly means, Barnes defines this word as follows: mildness, indulgence toward the weak and erring, patient suffering of injuries without feeling a spirit of revenge, an even balance of all tempers and passions, the entire opposite of anger. If one word could comprise or, you know, totally represent the meaning of turn the other cheek, it would be this word. It means when something bad has happened to you, you're not going to reply in kind. You're going to, if you see someone struggling, you're not going to get mad at them for struggling, but instead you're going to be patient with them. You're going to take them, you know, close to you, and you're going to help them overcome and understand what they're doing is incorrect. So this is, it's not just being gentle by being kind. It's really in occasions where the world would react in one way, the Christian should have a completely different attribute or, you know, characteristic in these areas. I want to, though, focus on just a little bit the last phrase that Barnes uses in his definition. He says it is the entire opposite of anger. The last phrase really emphasizes a must-have condition for a Christian and is certainly worthy of being included in this list of fruit of the Spirit. Among the works of the flesh, which we studied last quarter, were many examples of what happens when you let anger control you. Some of the words that we studied: enmity, strife, jealousy, and this one's pretty obvious, fits of anger, but rivalries, dissensions, divisions, and anger, and envy. All of these sins can be traced back to having anger in your life and allowing it to control you. Anger will lead us into fighting. It'll cause us to be jealous of others, jealous of what others possess. We'll pit ourselves against each other, letting things come between us. Importantly, in our context, come between us as brothers and sisters. We can let something fester and become a stumbling block for us. So it isn't hard to understand why gentleness is now being included in the fruit of the Spirit. These are real world situations that we encounter all the time, that just anger and seeping into our lives and controlling us, that this is certainly a worthy entrant in this list of fruit of the Spirit. As brothers and sisters, we shouldn't try and compete against each other. or become jealous of one another. In fact, we don't have to go very far past Galatians chapter 5 to give us an example of how we should be applying gentleness to the relationships we have with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. I hadn't read anything in Galatians 5, but if you want to go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul says this, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." We should have this spirit of gentleness when we recognize there is a brother or a sister that we know. Doesn't necessarily have to be a member of this congregation, but someone we just may know that's struggling. We should have this spirit to want to help them. We should not discourage them nor belittle them, but we should approach them with humility and encouragement. We should let them know why they should be turning away from their struggles and be restored to a faithful state. Verse 1 says that the restoration is to be done in a spirit of gentleness. This would imply then that it wouldn't be done with anger or with satisfaction that they're struggling, or, you know, that's not the mindset that we should have. It should be done with love and care, not only for the person, but for the soul that lives inside that person, which is the ultimate reason why we are all here today. In accordance with that mindset, Paul then tells the reader why this spirit of gentleness is suggested. Because we too could fall into the same temptations. And if we're not strong enough, we could respond to that temptation by sinning. And if we find ourselves in that situation, we too should want someone to come to us with that same mindset of gentleness and care and love. So as we are able to do so, we would hope that others would approach us if the situation occurs. Now the remaining 10 passages, obviously we've covered the two in Galatians. The remaining 10 passages where this word is found, I know it's going to be a little lengthy, but I do want to read them all because I do want to make some observations that I think will be, the context will be a little bit more meaningful if we've read each one of them. So we're going to start from where they are found. I know the New Testament isn't a chronological necessarily, you know, the books in order, but just how they're arranged in our New Testament, I'm going to go from the first instance towards the back. So if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, that's where we're going to find the first verse, and then we'll proceed through the New Testament. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 19 through 21 reads, "But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love and a spirit of gentleness?" Jumping over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. "I, Paul, myself, entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I, who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I am away." Ephesians chapter 4, first three verses. "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Colossians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. Colossians 3, 11, 13. "Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 9 through 12. 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 9. "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, about which you have made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now we'll read just a short part of what Brother Pickard read for our reading in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read the last three verses of that passage that he read. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Those are the last of the ones provided by Paul. The next two are going to be found in the book of James. The first in chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. James chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. And then the last passage is in 1 Peter chapter 3. It's a little lengthy, but I'll work through it. Verse 8 through verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him speak peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Based upon these 10 passages, I believe you could break this usage of gentleness and meekness into three different categories. The first is, some of these talk about your approach towards other Christians. We saw that in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. But the 1 Corinthians chapter 4 passage, Paul's telling the Corinthians that he's going to be coming to them. How he approaches them depends completely upon their behavior. If they're disobedient, he says, I'm going to bring a rod to chastise them for their actions. If they are faithful, he's going to come to them gently, commending and comforting them. The choice was theirs. The passage found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul, once again talking to the Corinthians, tells them that just as Christ was gentle and meek, so he would like to be towards them. Once again, the choice was going to be theirs. If they needed to be chastised, Paul certainly would do so, but he preferred that he would be gentle to them because it meant that they were doing what was right. The second category that I think you could break these passages down into is how to live your life as a Christian. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's telling the Ephesians to walk in a worthy manner, a manner that was worthy of the calling that they had received. This was a walk characterized in this passage as one of being humble, being gentle. Colossians chapter 3 says, regardless of our station in life, whether we're free or slave or whatever the case may be, we're all told that we should have certain characteristics in our life, certain attributes. Among this listing that he provides is meekness. And then Titus chapter 3, Paul tells Titus how a Christian life should be led. Like we discussed earlier, gentleness is the opposite of anger. Titus is told to avoid quarreling and avoid fighting, but instead says we should be gentle and courteous towards each other. And then the last category that has the most examples is as a comparison and a way of contrasting how a Christian life should be totally different and be totally separate than the way the world lives their lives. 1 Timothy chapter 6, he contrasts the love of money, which is the root of all evils. By avoiding this, by having gentleness in your life, you're going to save yourself a lot of trouble, both on this earth and beyond. 2 Timothy chapter 2, he contrasts a worldly life as being one filled with quarrels and fighting. There's that anger we're talking about. This anger gets in your life and it'll cause you to lash out at others. This is not something that a Christian should do. A Christian should have gentleness. When things get you upset, you should be able to reflect. You should think before you act and realize how a Christian should respond. James chapter 1 says, "The world is quick to hear something and react without thinking," is the implication there by James. They hear something and they snap. Often violently, often on a personal level, intended to cut someone, to hurt them with your words. We should instead, if we hear something, we should be able to reflect upon it and realize how we should respond, which is by being gentle. James 3 says, those without wisdom are guided, but are not guided by gentleness, I should say. They are filled with jealousy, they're selfish, they're boasters and liars. Nothing that a Christian should want to have used to describe them. But the wisdom that's guided by gentleness will lead you away from those particular sins. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, the world is always looking to do evil, but the Lord is always looking for those who are righteous. We should be living our lives so that he will look upon us. All these verses provide a comparison regarding how the world tends to live their lives, and then he compares it to how a Christian should live their life by being slow to anger, by not being consumed by the financial worries of this world, the being, you know, a snap judgment or a snap reaction, but instead a Christian should be almost stoic in some cases. We talked about last week. We should think about really how a Christian is able to respond to that and still be humble and be gentle. At this time, Brother Justin will lead us in a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed to our classes.